nothing this church can do. But love one another. Oh, brother, your sins are forgiven. I love you. You're wonderful, brother. I don't care what you've done. I love you.
Thank you, Jesus.
See, we begin to love one another like that. And take care of one another's needs. Help one another. And as my eyes fell on those eggs, and they was running off the end of my tie, and I read, "And at his gate there lay a poor man called Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed." Listen! Who longed? He yearned. He hurt. He begged. He cried out. He longed to fill himself from the scraps that were falling from the jaws of the rich man. He weren't concerned whether they were saliva-ridden or not. He could have even had cavities in his mouth. He could have been covered with AIDS. And the food that would fall from his mouth, the brother would come and eat it. Because he was hungry. So you put yourself in a category, just like I did that day. If you can eat, brother, you're rich. I want to tell you something else about this poor man. In the Beatitudes, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor." Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. I've heard an awful lot about born again. I've heard an awful lot about spiritual baptisms. I've heard an awful lot about water baptisms. But I'm going to tell you wonderful people something today. According to my word, this poor man went straight to heaven. Didn't say nothing about him being saved. Listen, a man starving to death can't know Jesus. Jesus said, "If your brother has need, you feed him first before you tell him about me." You can't tell a man about Jesus that's hungry. He ain't interested. He's only interested in one thing, filling his stomach. And according to my Bible, this man yearned and longed to fill himself. And he said, because of that yearning and that longing, God came into this world and paid a price for that man to go into the kingdom of God. Most of this was written to the rich. Very little was written to the poor. Summed it all up in two or three sentences. All the rest of the time, God's speaking to the rich, to the rich, to the rich. Trying to tell us how to get there. Poor man's gone. He's on his way. It said in my Bible, it says, "Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to the bosom of Abraham." Y'all listening? Folks, it does not say he ever was saved, that he ever experienced Jesus. It said the angels of God came and picked him up and carried him. And it said the rich man also died. The equalizer today between the wealthy and the poor is that we're both going to die. The poor are starving to death. Unfortunately, we're eating ourselves to death. High blood pressure, cholesterol. We got all kind of symptoms from overeating. And folks, I'm as guilty as anyone in here. The point that I'm trying to make, it is by grace that we go and the way we love one another. Said the rich man also died and was buried. Notice here that one was carried and one was buried. Doesn't say anything about the rich man being carried. It said he was buried. And in his torment, looking up, He saw Abraham a long way off with Lazarus in his bosom, so he cried out. Listen to what he cried. Father Abraham, he had a relationship with God. He knew him. He called him Father. Father Abraham, and then he said something. Pity me. The very thing that we wouldn't do to the least of God's property, to the least of one of His creation, the very thing that this rich man wouldn't do was have pity and mercy on the dying, the starving, the homeless, those locked up in jails, the ones that are in prison. And folks, this is the biggest prison of all. More people locked up here than there are in the county jail. I visit Catholic church after Catholic church and just find people in jail, locked up in tradition, routine. I'm going to do it. I'll show God how good I am. And God gets a little nauseous. He doesn't want your ability. He wants your love for one another. He doesn't want your intellect. He wants your faith. My Bible says faith, what matters is faith that manifests its power felt through love. The Word of God promotes love. It's the only thing it can promote. If it promotes anything other than love, it's promoting damnation. These two brothers, and in our nation today, the prosperity message goes like this. If you are wealthy, God has blessed you and you are prosperous and that's good and you're on your way to heaven. According to this message, it says that the rich man busted hell wide open. Just, I mean, it said in his torment, looking up, he saw Abraham a long way off and he cried out, Father Abraham, pity me for I am in agony in these flames. We're talking about New Testament stuff here, folks. A new covenant. We've got some of our theologians that'll tell you there is no hell. They don't know my Bible. They'll tell you there is no separation from God. Everybody's going to heaven. They've not read my Bible. And folks, I preach this in the Roman Catholic Church every week. Every single week. I'm convinced that David Stewart and I have got the missionary ministry in the world today. God's opened up a door for us that He's not opened up for anybody else. We're preaching a gospel that's not been preached in our church for 1,700 years. And I want to tell you, we've been preaching it with zeal and enthusiasm, and we're finding thousands and hundreds and thousands upon thousands and thousands that are hearing it, and they're repenting, and they're turning, and they're beginning to love one another. If you noticed here, I want to go back up, because I really think it's important that we understand a little bit more of this. When I was a little kid, I had a sore that was named infantigo. Did y'all ever hear that? Infantigo, those sores are extremely infectious. Wherever they scab and the pus comes from the scab, if that pus is allowed to run or to hit any other part of the body, it'll start a sore. That's how infectious it is. And twice a week, I'd have to stand in a tub of water, and my grandmother and my mother would scrub off the scabs off of my infantigo sore so they would not pus, and paint them with methylate. And as the sore would begin to rescab, it would pull the skin so tight, and I had so many that I'd have to walk stiff-legged like this. If I would bend my leg, it would just bust the sore. I've still got the scars on my legs. I had big ones. I had sores that went all the way to the bone. And the only way they knew to do it was to wash them and paint them. Wash them and paint them. And the only relief I got was we had an old dog named Sam, and he had a tongue that long. And old Sam, I would encourage him to lick my sores.
Yes.
It was, I want to tell you folks, it run all through my whole body. My flesh would almost faint. It would be so relaxing. It would be so soothing to my body as old Sam would take his old long tongue and go. In fact, listen, I would help him. I'd hold his ears. And he would lick. And he'd lick for hours. The only affection, the only attention that the poor man got came from a dog. His brother never saw that he had a need. His brother never knew that he was hungry. He didn't care if he was hungry. He was too busy with the political systems of the day. He was too busy with the decision-making policies of the church. He was too busy in the parish council meetings making ready for the great worship service on Sunday, and they had to prepare the choir. And he drove by his brother. Said, "Why don't you get to work?" "Sorry, rascal. Just lay out here and embarrass the whole community. And he'd speed off and throw dirt in his face with his new Cadillac. Oh, folks, we are in bad shape. Our church is in bad shape. We have received the beast, and he is living in us because the beast has no love for nothing but himself. He consumes and he takes and he eats and he gorges and he hoards so that he can live. He doesn't want to die. And I got news for him. He's going to die. And so are we. But when we check out of this world, we better be loving one another to the point that what I have belongs to you. I better not come selling you anything, sister. I better come giving to you as Jesus gave to me. He said, "Freely I have given." We've made our church a great business, especially the Roman church. And folks, I don't have a different message. I can't preach two messages. I don't know how. What I'm preaching here today, I've preached hundreds of times. The man was too busy to see his brother's needs. And I just give you a few illustrations of how we get busy. I'm not saying those things aren't important, but I'm saying the thing that's important to God is your brother and your sister. All this other stuff is crapola. When the church begins to live like Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you, the world will shrink back from us and they will fear and tremble as we move as sons and daughters of God, healing the sick, raising the very dead. My Lord, the power of God lives in love. If He is God and He is love, His power lives in love. And when we begin to love one another, to where whatever I have belongs to you. You can't steal from me. If any man should rob your property, don't ask for it back. Then if that's so, I don't need a fence around my house and I don't need to protect nothing. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there's your heart also." Our hearts are to be in one another, especially a sinner. Amen. So you can see what happened to the rich man. In this nation, we declare ourselves blessed. Don't we? We're blessed of God. We give. We just had Thanksgiving. And we just praise God for all the stuff He's let us fill up our stomachs with. And folks, I fill it up. Y'all can tell. Shows. And at the same time, we'd see a brother hitchhiking on the street. That skinny. I mean, the poor guy, you know, just look at him, know he's about to faint from hunger, and we'll pass him right by. There's another bum. Folks, he just drove by Jesus. See, that's what Jesus came for. He came for those that had needs. He said, for those that are self-righteous. This rich man, he didn't have a need. God couldn't do anything for him. But the poor man had a need, and God fulfilled that need on the cross. On the cross, folks, the battle is over. The victory's been won for the poor. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who hunger now, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who weep and mourn, for they shall laugh. That precious brother Lazarus, he's up there today going, hallelujah! And we're down here rich, moaning and bickering and grumbling. Can't get fed over here, I'm going to go get fed over here. I'm going to get fed over here. And you get fatter and fatter, and all of a sudden you explode and just make a great big mess. The gospel is simple. Love your enemy. Love those that are unlovable. Use grace that God's been giving us. Use mercy. In his torment in Hades, well, I just got a backup. Have you ever noticed how we bury our dead? You ever noticed it? Let me see. To have this understanding. Do we consider one God? Do we believe that there's just one God? We don't believe in two gods. Well, then, the same God that's your father is my father. Jesus Christ is the Lord and the Savior, the representative of God, true God from true God, that allowed us to know God. Only Jesus, nobody else. We believe that. All right. In Ethiopia, today, right now, this moment, right now, a person has just died of starvation. And they will take it and drag it out of the hut or out of the compound that they have it in and roll it up in a sheet. It's not a clean sheet. It hadn't been washed in a Maytag. It has just finished being wrapped over another person that died of starvation, and they'll load it up in a litter, and they'll take it over to a big hole where there's a common grave, and they will hold the sheet and dump the carrier, and it'll slide off. And in the same moment in this country, now we are brothers, the same God that made them made us. We consider ourselves blessed, they consider themselves cursed. We consider them cursed. Oh, if they had this ham and gravy that I'm going to have today. Brother dies and, well, I don't know too much about how y'all bury him, but I'll tell you how the Catholics bury him. We spend 3 days preparing the body. Then we'll all gather in the building. We call it church. And we'll roll them from the street out of a long limousine. I mean, you ever measured one of those things off? 24 feet long. And it's got fancy everything. Rolling. Mash a button and this casket just comes through. And then they'll pull out another thing and mash a button. It'll jump up with wheels on it. And they'll take that casket and lay it up on this I don't know what they call it. A little carriage that rolls the coffin. And this old... Listen, this old boy that's in that box done checked out and gone. And we'll roll him down the aisle. And everybody will sit and look. Here he comes. Old George. And we will go through a ceremony. And we'll have a little pot and start a fire and pour some stuff in there that stinks. And we'll begin to fumigate it. Then we'll take a little sprinkle of water. Now, this ain't hitting the old boy that's in the coffin. It's just on the box. And we'll throw water at it. And everybody will be real solemn. He had everything to live for. He just retired and got his first pension check. He was going bass fishing tomorrow with one of the great celebrities and just dropped dead. Had a charter on Wild Irish Rose. Had a paid vacation to Disney World. Oh, God. And then they'll roll him out. They'll tell you how good he was. He's a marvelous man. Did great things for the community. And you'll holler, yes. And then you'll roll him out. That old boy ain't saying a thing. He just ride. He's along for the ride. And you'll put him back in that long limousine and there'll be a motorcycle cop. I tell you what, you'll never forget this next funeral you go to. I am absolutely convinced that when you check out of this body, if you're living for Jesus, you become present to Him. We ought to be in here dancing. Take that old carcass and sling that heart away and dance and shout and say glory to God. My brother just checked out. Stop this playing church. God's not impressed with all of our crocodile tears. He already cried one time. He died one time. He paid the price for our sins. Let's begin to love one another. And when you check out, rejoice.
Yes, hallelujah.
That motorcycle cop will start his siren. And you folks can't wait to get him to the boneyard. Run right through stoplights. Turn on your lights. Let's go get him in a hurry. Crank him down. You just buried him. And in his torment, you stuck him in a... Just the way y'all read this. The same hour... A little baby dies in Haiti of starvation. Same child of God, same father, and they'll roll it up in a banana plant, a belief, and stick it in the dirt. Isn't this good? I discovered all this as that egg was dripping off my tie. It was instant flashback. I said, oh God. Nothing I can do to get to heaven. Nothing I can do within myself. Lord Jesus, I depend on your mercy and your grace. Now, Lord Jesus, let me be living with your heart. Let me see the people the way you see them. Let me preach the word the way you preached it. Lord Jesus, give me the authority to preach word. Lord God, let through me your Spirit work. And I'm going to tell you, folks, it's coming. God has told me over and over again, it's coming when we will speak to people in wheelchairs. They will rise and be healed. Dead people will jump up out of them boxes. We'll walk in here and His work won't be done. And we'll say in Jesus' name, come out! But you know, we ain't got that power now. You know why? We don't love one another. Let her go, we'll get her inheritance. Don't raise her from the dead. She's got too much. My son, replied Abraham, they had a father-son relationship. We talk about Father God, and we talk about God knowing us as His sons. And so we say, Father, my son, Abraham replied, remember that your life, good things came your way. Remember during your life, good things. Kentucky Fried Chicken. McDonald's. Ordens. Good things. Hospitals. Telephones, television, homes, water beds, electricity. Good things came your way. God's the giver of both. Because God is God. The devil can't give out nothing. I heard a preacher the other day say, if you're living in poverty, you're living in sin. Because you're a rank, hard sinner, if you'd clean up your act, you could prosper. And Jesus said, blessed. He said, woe are the problems, many of the problems of the rich. Blessed are the poor. One of these days, the church is going to start preaching this the way it's supposed to be preached. Now he is being comforted here while you're in agony. But that's not all. Between us and you, a great gulf has been fixed. That kind of shoots purgatory down, doesn't it? All you folks waiting on purgatory? Said, there's a great gulf been fixed to stop anyone from coming from your side to ours or from our side to yours. In other words, once you check out of here, folks, you're either there or there. Bing, bang. And you're not going to spend a bunch of time praying people across that great abyss because God says you can't go across. They ain't got no holding tank left for me. And I'm not going to count on one because just as sure as I did, it wouldn't be there. And I'm going to warn all the people. Don't count on it. Most people are counting on it. You know, I'll do the best I can. Hope I make it to purgatory. And depend on the church to pray you out. Well, I'd hate to know today that the Catholic Church had to pray me out of purgatory. I just would. If I was there. Because most of them don't know how to pray in tongues. Folks, this is serious. This is serious. We're talking about serious stuff. We're talking about life and death. Which man replied, Father, I beg you then to send Lazarus to my father's house, since I have five brothers, to give them warning that they do not come to this place to torment too. All of a sudden, this rich sapsucker becomes an evangelist. They had Moses and the prophets, said Abraham. Let them listen to them. I know, Father Abraham, said the rich. They're still calling him a rich man. He can't even get a drink of water. When money fails you. Have you heard David say that over and over and over? When the system of this world fails you. This man was a rich man. He couldn't even get a drink of water. I know, Father Abraham, said the rich man, but if someone should come to them from the dead, they will repent. If you will send somebody back from the grave, brother, they'll repent. And I think probably this is probably the saddest part of all of the gospel. If they would not listen to Moses, nor the prophets, they will not even be convinced if someone should be raised from the dead. It's a sad God. It almost makes me weep. Because I don't care how many times I preach this. We today believe and stand in a church where we believe that someone was raised from the dead. We put our whole faith and trust and life into the one that was raised from the dead, and we'll turn around and kill our brother. Let them starve to death. Help us to enter into the reality of the seriousness of Your Word. Lord, let us truly begin to forgive and be reconciled as You've forgiven. As You have reconciled us unto God, let us reconcile ourselves to one another. Lord Jesus, as You have forgiven all sin, let us forgive one another's sins. Lord Jesus, as You've made the way straight and narrow, Father God, put our feet, our mind and our hearts and our souls on that straight and narrow. Lord Jesus, that You may be glorified. Amen.